Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Like to follow along, I will be in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now this should be a very familiar passage of Scripture. For some people it may not be, but that's not your fault. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13 is where I'm going to start. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. A man once said, the early Christians did not say in dismay, look what this world has come to. But rather, in delight, the early Christians said this, look who has come into the world. I wish I could more often. I wish I could. Well, today I want to speak upon the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. We say it a lot because we mean it and because the Bible teaches it. God is sovereign and Jesus Christ is God. Therefore, logically, don't worry about it, it's Scripture. Jesus Christ is sovereign. And that's my title, Paul, Jesus Christ, the Sovereign God. Now, some people are really nice, and they will admit that God was sovereign in the Old Testament. They'll admit that. They'll say, okay, yeah, God, that was Old Testament God. You understand, they gotta put a difference between the Old Testament God and the New Testament, Jesus. I'm sorry, folks, there is no difference. There is not one piece of difference between God and Christ. They are one. I've even been told, and I've told you this before, I'll tell you again, by a rabbi, no less, that all of the Old Testament stories were just that, stories, to teach us how we ought to live in this world. You understand? According to this man that I talked to, and that, it's serious, he was a rabbi at a Jewish synagogue. He told me that no animals were harmed in the Old Testament sacrifices. Those are just stories. No, without blood, there's no remission of sin. And that was pictured in the Old Testament, but it was pictured by actual Old Testament sacrifices. Blood was shed. And of course, myself, for being young and brash as I was at that time. Now I'm not young. I still got the brash part, but I'm not young. I told this rabbi that it was really strange that all these stories in the Old Testament that were teaching us how we ought to live were just plumb full of God sticking his nose in our business. because their work of God is in the Old Testament. Oh my. How to win friends and influence people, that's me, all over. But hear this, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and that Lord is sovereign over all. And that's Old Testament and New. I got a song here that I sent to Walter, and I'm going to read it because it has to do with a bit about what I'm going to talk about. The Lord is Zion's King. Let Zion in him trust. Midst friends and foes, his goodness sing, and of his mercy boast. He rules on Zion's hill with laws of peace and grace, laws that bespeak his kindness still, and human pride abase. Let saints his scepter own, his righteous laws obey, acknowledge him the Lord alone, and walk the heavenly way. I like that. Let me put this thing away so I won't play with it while I'm up here. Let the people of God acknowledge his scepter. Now, the scepter was the sign of the king's authority. That's what it was. It's just like a crown on his head. Some places didn't have crowns. He had a scepter. And no one else was allowed to hold that scepter except the king. And whatever that king said, went. Whatever he said, goes. And that's Jesus Christ, our sovereign God, the sovereign God. Now, in the Old Testament, you'll find a lot, and I'm not going to go into them in any depth, but I'm going to read a few here. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Why? He's sovereign. He's sovereign. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He's sovereign. He is sovereign. The word has gone out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that whereunto I sent it. The Lord is sovereign. Matter of fact, it's going to accomplish everything I want to, and it's not going to accomplish anything I don't want to. It's not coming back void. And Nebuchadnezzar learned a lesson. And none can stay his hand or even say to him, what are you doing? What are you doing? You understand? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, the fool also in his heart is saying, what are you doing, God? If he wants you to know, he'll show you. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. I read it last week. Known unto God. This is New Testament. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. From the beginning. But how do we reference this into the New Testament? Well, I got three verses here. I'm just going to read different chapters in Isaiah. Because this is the thing. There's a whole slew of them in Isaiah. I'm not going to read them all. Here. Isaiah 48 and verse 2 says this. For they call themselves of the holy city and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. Well, see, that's God. That's God. Old Testament God. Yes, it is. Isaiah 51 and verse 15 says this, but I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea whose waves roared, referencing the parting of the Red Sea and the people of Israel going over. What's it say then? The Lord of hosts is his name. Then in Isaiah 54 and verse 5, you find this. And I love this verse. for thy maker is thine husband.
What?
The one who made you is the one who's marrying you. The one who's made you is the one who has joined you to him. It's not you joined yourself to him. No, he's the Lord. The Lord of hosts is his name. He's joined you to himself. But he didn't stop there. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer. The Redeemer. The Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. The Redeemer is the Lord of hosts in this book. The Redeemer is Jesus Christ the righteous. What? From the New Testament. Yes. The sovereign in the Old Testament is the Redeemer. The sovereign in the Old Testament who parted the Red Sea. What? To let Israel go by and to drown Pharaoh's army. That's the Redeemer. That's the Redeemer. And the Old Testament says it, and the New. Jesus Christ is the sovereign God. Now, let's start with a fact in verse 15. Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The first fact is Jesus Christ shall show. He's going to show. He's going to show. And here's the thing. When Christ shows you, you will see. And I'm going to put this in at the end. And not before. And not before. Because if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. What? Whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, that they, what? Can't see. Can't see. I told you this before, you know the old saying, there's none so blind as he who will not see. Well, that's true in a way, and it's not true in a way, because there's even blinder people who can't see. And if our gospel be hid, and what are we talking about our gospel here? Well, our gospel is a person. Our gospel is a person. If the gospel is Jesus Christ, then the lost don't see him. But one day, Jesus Christ shall show. Oh, I like that. And here, I want to say the question, what's he going to show? No, it's not what, it's who. It's who's he going to show? Which in his times he shall show who? Our Lord Jesus Christ is what we need to see. It's who we need to see. I can't even say it right. It's who we need to see. Who's going to show? He is. Who's he going to show? Himself. You understand, salvation's not in a doctrine. Salvation's not in a denomination. Salvation's not in a religion. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Our salvation is in a person. He shall show himself. One day. So who is this? He's going to show the blessed and only potentate. Now, potentate means ruler. Sovereign. That's what it means. He's going to show who is the blessed and only ruler. And what's the description of this ruler? Blessed and only. blessed and only. And I like what was Bruce Crabtree taught when he did that thing about blessed. One of the definitions of that word used in the Greek is happy. You understand? The Lord Jesus Christ is a happy ruler. He's blessed. He's been blessed by God. He's blessed himself because he is God. He is blessed forever in holiness and righteousness. But he's happy to be the sovereign. I like that. I do. There is only one blessed and only. There's only one who is the blessed one. Potentate, ruler, sovereign, supreme. And what has he done? Well, he's the happy and the holy redeemer. Redemption is done. Redemption is done. He came and shed his blood and purchased his chosen people, the ones the Father gave to him before the foundation of the world, the ones that were chosen from before the foundation of the world, and now he is bringing them in. What does it say? Bringing many sons to glory. To glory. Oh, I like that. Jesus Christ is the holy and only ruler and sovereign of this world. There is only one Lord. One Lord. What more can be said about the blessed and only potentate? Paul writes it here. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've talked about this before, so I'm going to do it again, just in case you're wondering. This phrase, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is used three times in the New Testament. Once here in 1 Timothy, and twice in the book of Revelation. Now, I'm not going to go into the book of Revelation, but I do have them written down here. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And faithful. Revelations 19 and verse 16 says this. And he hath on his vesture, that's his upper garment, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So who is this? I do want to look back at one part of Revelation 19. Because it tells you, first it tells you in Revelation 17, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is the Lamb. The Lamb of God. Alright? And Revelation 19 and verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. One of the places where his name is. And his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath a name on that vesture dipped in blood. And on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So who is this King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He's the Lamb and he's the Word of God. Folks, that's Jesus Christ. Just in case you had any questions about it. Now, I do want to point out here, and I want you to consider this, because this verse is not only saying who Jesus Christ is, it's telling us exactly what Jesus Christ is doing. Because Revelation 17 and Revelation 19, where it says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, those words, the second word, well, actually, King of Kings is basically, it's the same word. It's King and plural kings. And it's Lord and plural lords in both cases in Revelations. But when you read this in 1 Timothy 6, and I know it's not readily apparent, but you can look it up in the Greek. It's not a big deal. I do it online. It's not like I'm a Greek scholar. But here's the thing. This is king, noun, of kings, verb. This is a verb. This is an action. And Lord, noun, of lords, a verb. It's a plural verb in both cases. But you understand, it's denoting Christ's actions. What are his actions? Right now, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, ever living to make intercession for us. What are his actions? Well, it says here that he is the King of ruling. I like that. I like that. He is the Lord of reigning. He is seated in the heavens. And guess what he's doing, folks? He's doing exactly what he's pleased. Same as it says in the Old Testament. See, I know nowadays, in these days, okay, we don't have a lot of kings in this world. There used to be a lot of them. There were places where, you know, it was one city and the fella called himself the king of the city. There were kings everywhere. But I'm going to tell you this. Our Lord is the king of ruling. Now, you can be a king. You can be a president. You can be a prime minister. This is your Lord. Whether you know it or not, he's Lord. Whether you know it or not, he is ruling. You can be a prime minister. You can be a dictator. You can name yourself king. It doesn't matter. This is the Lord who is reigning right now. And he reigns over what they do. What it say in the Old Testament? What? The king's heart is in the Lord's hand. And like the river that flows, he turns it whithersoever he will. People don't like that. You're trying to make God the author of sin. No, I'm not. We can do that all by ourselves. We don't need any help with sin whatsoever. But I'm going to tell you this. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Now I heard, you know him, a primitive Baptist preacher on the radio trying to explain that verse, and he basically said, all good things work together for good to them that love God. And I thought to myself, well, that's pretty darn obvious. I may have used some more colorful metaphors. I don't know. Everything works together for good to them that love God. And you don't like it, you don't like it. That's your problem, not the Scriptures. The Scriptures say what the Scriptures say. And not only that, the Scriptures mean what the Scriptures say. And when Paul wrote, all things work together for good to them that love God, you know what that means? Jesus Christ is sovereign and in control and running this show whether we like it or not. I personally have come to love it. Because I've been way too disappointed by the people who think they're in control. Including myself. I don't want to be in control. No, I don't want to be in control. I've messed it up too much already. And you don't want to be in control because I don't trust you either.
That's right.
It's just the way it is. But the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust. And I trust that everything that happens is for my good, and more importantly, it's for His glory. Oh my, the king's heart is in His hand. He turns it whithersoever He will. And I was going to read the next verse after that. That's in Proverbs 21, verse 1. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever He will. Now look at the next verse in Proverbs. He says this, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. You think those two things are related? You better bet your bottom dollar they are. But the Lord pondereth the heart, the hearts. See, that king thinks he's doing what's right. Or at least he thinks he's doing what he wants. But I can tell you this, that king's heart's in God's hands. That king's heart's in God's hand. The president's heart is in God's hand. The prime minister's heart is in God's hand. The dictator's heart is in God's hands. Pharaoh's heart was in God's hands. Why? To turn it whithersoever He will. What? My word has gone out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish what? Not what you want, not what I want. It's going to accomplish that which I sent it forth for. I said it. Now, what's the rest of it? I said it. I'll do it. That's what God says. I've purposed it. It's going to come to pass. Oh, my. Who is this King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He's the Lamb of God, which came to take away the sin of the world. He's the Word of God. Where'd the Word of God come from? Well, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, but not only that, the Word was God. Oh, I like that. And guess what? The Word of God still is God. And still is sovereign.